Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the Israelites left the desert of Sinai and continued to travel at the commandment of the Lord. That means whenever he told them to move, they moved. But when he told them to stop, they stopped, because they were following the angel in the pillar of fire and cloud. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water to drink. So they complained to Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why are you complaining and murmuring? Why are you trying to put the Lord to the test?" The people were very thirsty and continued to complain. So, Paul says that when Israel were going through the wilderness, they murmured, and he said, "Let us not murmur as they murmured." And complaining is unfortunately the spirit of our age, whereby people think that they have got some sort of entitlement. And yet we mustn't be like that, and we are to live without murmuring and complaining. Because when Israel went through the Red Sea, this is like baptism, and then their journey through the wilderness is like our life in Christ after that, as we journey towards the kingdom. And so they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Did you intend to kill us and our children and our animals with thirst?" Well, of course, that's not what God intended. And so we must never think that God is a cruel God. God is a bad God. God is not cruel. God is not bad. He has brought us out of this world, which is like Egypt, and led us through the Red Sea so that we might come to the kingdom, so that we might inherit the promised land. Moses prayed to the Lord his God and said, "What shall I do with these people? They're about to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Take some of the elders of Israel with you and go ahead of the people, and take with you the rod with which you struck the river Nile. I will stand before you on a rock in Mount Sinai. You are to hit the rock, and water will come out of it for the people so that they can drink." And Moses did this in the presence of the elders of Israel, and the place was called Massah and Meribah, because there the Israelites complained and put the Lord to the test.
I thought Moses should talk to the rock.
Well, later on this happens again, and he is told to talk to the rock, but he hits the rock. And so then he's not allowed to go into the promised land. That's right. But there were two incidents. This one, the first one, he's obedient. He's told to hit the rock, and he does so, and the water comes out. Now, in the New Testament, we're told that that rock represented Jesus. And the striking of the rock is like the death of Jesus. And you remember, when they put the spear in the side of Jesus, there flowed out blood and water. And so it seems that this water which came out of the rock went with them, maybe as a kind of a stream that followed the people. And there was a huge number of people. There were 600,000 men, we're told, came out of Egypt, along with all the women and children, as well as their animals. This would have required a huge amount of water. And in the same way, in our wilderness journey, God will provide for us. The Amalekites then came up and attacked the Israelites whilst they were at Rephidim. And Moses told Joshua, "Pick out some men and go and fight the Amalekites tomorrow. I will go up to the top of the hill with the rod of God." Joshua did as Moses commanded him, and he went out to fight the Amalekites, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So long as Moses held up his arms, the Israelites won. But when he let his arms down, I guess when they were tired, the Amalekites started to win against the Israelites. So when Moses' arms got tired, Aaron and Hur brought a stone for him to sit on, and they stood behind him and held up his arms and held them steady until the sun went down. And that is how Joshua defeated the Amalekites. Well, in the Bible, holding your arms up is like often used about prayer. So I think that he was praying really intensely. When he got a bit tired of praying, let his arms down, well, Israel started to lose. And he saw that, so he had to keep his arms up all day long. Now, it's also a little bit like the crucifixion, because Jesus died with his arms above his head, and on either side of Jesus there were men, the two criminals. So in a sort of very outline way, it is rather similar to that. But the point is that this great victory that Joshua won was because of Moses up the top of the mountain praying for him, not because of Joshua's bravery. And this is how it is. Our prayer for others can really affect how their life goes. We let down our arms, we don't pray for them intensely enough, and they start to lose. We pray with our arms lifted up, they start to win. And so really, prayer changes things, and we really can make a difference. You need to ask yourself, how long have I ever prayed at any one time? And the answer may very well be, never more than 10 minutes. Well, Jesus spent all night in prayer, and here you have an example of Moses praying all night, or all day. The Lord then said to Moses, write a record of this victory so that it will be remembered, and tell Joshua that I'm going to completely destroy the Amalekites. Moses built an altar and called it Yahweh, my banner. He said, let us lift up the banner of Yahweh. The Lord will fight against the Amalekites from generation to generation. So they made a memorial of the victory. And that, in a sense, connects with what I said about Moses at this point being a bit like Jesus dying on the cross. And we remember that in the breaking of bread service. And of course, in our hearts, all the time. So then, let's really be encouraged to really pray for others and to remember that the battle goes backwards and forwards in their lives, sometimes just depending on how much we are praying for them.